All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town? It's Tuesday. Full squad is present and accounted for. So let's do this. Game seven last night.
Yeah.
What up?
The Astros. Nick's up.
You know the big questions I'm getting on Twitter?
Please share.
Did I find my lettuce? That's literally the only thing people are tweeting to me. Did I find my lettuce and do I know who took it? Yeah, I know who took it. I'm staring right at the man. And I tell you what, if it happens again, I've already decided I won't throw any fisticuffs. I'm not going to punch you. But you will be able, you will find out what it's like to be kicked in the leg.
Gonna pop a cap?
Muay Thai style. No?
Now, I'm Nick, just, he says he's going to kick you, and I said, well, that's to his advantage because
right.
Then he could beat you in a race.
That's right. So, Nick, you touch my food, you're going to be walking with a limp.
I don't think so.
You don't think
I'm looking for your spinach, though.
It's lettuce, and I've already hit it.
Whatever.
Spinach.
What am I, Popeye?
Because you're always eating greens. Like,
I know.
Spinach or broccoli.
My name is Barry. You touch my food, I'll kill you. You call me Francis, I'll kill you.
I like the gunshots. That's pretty sweet. I have a question for you.
All right.
So yesterday we got this text or a tweet or something. Somebody tweeted to me just talking about this. And I was going through my list of – I always record my sets when I do comedy.
All right.
And so I was going through my recordings, and I ran across something. And it was one time I was at a show, and I was in the green room, and the headliner was in there eating. And he was eating so loud and smacking so loud that it was driving me crazy. And I recorded it. I'll get it. I need to get, like, a copy of it to Nick so he can play. You can just hear this dude just. Does that kind of thing bother you?
Immensely.
Like when people crunch chips, and this was what I got tweeted to yesterday, but when people crunch loudly, whether it's like chewing on ice, like if I'm in a, like when I was in the corporate world, if we were in a meeting and some dude was chewing ice, I would be ready to just jump out the window.
If it goes on long enough, it definitely
like my wife
me.
Is not only bothered by it, but she'll drop a line like, what are you, a petting zoo?
I just, I'm just making sure that it's not me being like petty or whatever, because it drives me literally crazy.
So it drives my wife said from all my years of playing baseball that I am the loudest gum chewer on the planet.
I believe that.
And she reminds me of it every time I chew gum.
Okay.
But I can't agree with you more on the food thing, because Dave Blank was the biggest violator on the history of the planet. God rest his soul. But my dad at the dinner table, I used to call him the snowblower, and my mom would be like, just let it go. I'm like, are you kidding me? Not only is he talking with a mouthful, he's like, and it's like, he's like, hey, when we get done here, you make sure you get out in the garage. And I'm like, gee, there's food spraying all over.
Oh,
it drove me crazy. And my mom would be just like, just let him go.
That's even worse if you talk with your mouth full. But I'm just talking about, like, one time, this was 4 or 5 years ago when I, like I said, when I was in the corporate world. And it was an open cube area. This is when I worked at Halliburton. It was an open cube. I probably shouldn't give the business name. Whatever.
Yeah, too
it's too late now. I'm in an open cube area. And this dude, every day, he would either bring chips and a sandwich or carrots and those little baby carrots and just sit there just. I got so irate after 2 weeks of this. And he was new. Like, they had moved him because his office was being redone, his area. And so he was just sitting here temporarily, just every day, nonstop, just. I finally walked by one day. I was like, hey, bro, I got a question for you. This is in the middle of eating. I was like, do you have any quiet food at the house? He was like, what do you mean? I was like, bro, every day you come in here with your lunch and it's either chips or carrots or celery or something that's the loudest thing I've ever heard in an office environment. Do you think maybe you could just bring something a little quieter for the next week and a half? He brought like soup. Just mashed potatoes.
But soup is the guy that goes...
No. He ate it quietly. It was so funny. I thought, wow, I really had... And do you know that four people in the cube area came up to me later and thanked me? They were like, thank you so much. Yeah, that doesn't bother me because that's not real. But they, like, literally, people were coming up and thanking me. So
it would bother you if that was your lettuce in there.
No, it would bother me if he was just if we were actually out to dinner and he was doing that.
Well, that's the other thing. So we would have people at my house, and my mom, because my mom was just worried that my dad was drunk, so that he was going to go off, right? So my mom was just like, "Let him go, just let him go." I'm like, "No, I'm not going to let him go." I'm like, "Dad, stop doing that," and he would be like, "You know, last week," and it's like Sylvester the cat, and it's just, and I'm like, "Oh my God!" And then I would, I'm just like, could someone else please back me up on this, that he needs to stop talking and eating at the same time? And he's like, what? You think I got a problem? See, I'm like deflecting crap coming my way. I'm like, stop it already.
Yeah. Yeah.
I would never be cool with it, like being, like if someone's spitting food, I would never be cool with that.
Oh my God.
But the one place I'm cool with the sound of someone eating, it would be in the movie theater. Cause like you're eating popcorn, everybody's eating popcorn.
No.
You know what I mean?
Maybe that's why I don't go to the movies very often, cause I would literally shush. If you're just, I'm like, could you please?
I mean, how else are you supposed to eat popcorn?
How are you gonna eat popcorn quietly?
I don't know. Close your mouth. That would help. You don't have to eat with your mouth
open. I hate the guys that think that it's the cool way to eat popcorn is you tilt your head back and try and throw it in your mouth. Because inevitably,
who's doing that?
Like they're like, and they got to shake it a little bit. Yeah. And they do that with their boxed candies too. What the hell are you doing?
Confession: I do that with peanuts though. Like
you shake them.
Oh yeah.
So essentially, you shake your nuts before you put them in your mouth.
You guys are 8 years old.
Yeah,
both 8 year olds.
I had to. I couldn't help it.
But you said it.
Both I rarely do it though.
We're literally talking about eating all the time.
So give me the concept behind it. Why are we shaking the nuts before we eat them?
You gotta loosen them up. They all stick together. You gotta
in the shell. In the shell,
you're shaking off the taste and the flavor and the salt and all that off of it.
Lick your palm later.
So you're talking about. In the shell or just the dry roasted?
Yeah. Who the hell's shaking a shell and then
cracking it? Hey, man, I'm just asking.
I do know people that eat the shells of peanuts.
I've seen that.
Which I think is
weird.
You're a communist. You can literally go to hell if you eat the shell of a peanut. I don't know what you're
doing. Or you can put ketchup on a grilled cheese.
That, you can go to hell for that, too. I mean.
Isn't that you, Joel? Don't you put ketchup on the grilled cheese?
That's why I said it.
Yeah.
Thanks for joining the show, Nick. Appreciate it. Well, tomorrow we're going to start at about 101.
I was trying to remember, was it you or was someone else that did that? I couldn't remember.
It was totally him. Okay. Well, thank you guys for validating this because I felt like maybe it's just my grumpy old man in me coming out.
No, I think you'd be grumpy if you'd be mad about it.
Never seen that side of you.
I'm not a grumpy man.
No, we've never seen that side of you. What's the percentage rate, Nick, on if he's grumpy or not?
Like 75-80% to 20?
Then I'm no.
Is that fair, Joel? No. Or am I overdoing it?
It's pretty close.
You're way overdoing it.
60% today, to 40.
Trey is so gun shy with Barry now. Barry walks in and hey, what's up, Barry? How you doing today?
It's so true.
And Barry just sits there and stares at me and goes, what? All I said was hello. What am I supposed?
Because he knows what he's doing. They're doing it on purpose. Him.
What, he's trying to be polite?
Him and Jose and Cam, they all act weird for no reason, just to mess with me. And then when you call them up, they're like, what? No, you're being weird on purpose. I know what you're doing. Because I walk in and he goes, hey, Barry. Like, that's not how you say hi to someone. You go, hey, what's up, Barry? You don't go, hey, Barry. Like, that's not a greeting. That's you trying to be a smartass and just start my day off on the wrong foot. I don't need that.
Jose used to do that. What's up, Lammy?
Yeah. Yeah, he still does that. Lammy's fine because I get why they're doing that. It's a callback. But, like, Cam will do that. Cam will get weird. He'll just be like, hey, Laminac, what's up? I'm like, Cam? Bro, why are you acting like that? Huh?
Who would do that?
Yeah, producer Cam.
Oh, Cameron.
Yeah.
Oh, Cam. My bad.
Yeah, he gets weird too. I'm like, why are you being a weirdo, Cam? I'm not being a weirdo, Lammy.
For Trey? Trey wasn't being weird. He just went, hey, what's up, Barry?
He does get weird when there's like free food in the studio. He's like, I don't know if Barry is cool with it. I don't know if I should take this slice of pizza.
I don't know why he worries about that so much. He does, dude.
He's like, Barry said I couldn't take this Dr. Pepper. I'm like, are you sure? I think he was messing with you.
Yeah, totally messing with him, and he takes it to heart. But no, like, you could just, I can walk in, and you could be like, hey, what's up, man? And that's fine. That's totally fine. But don't walk in and be all like, hey, what's up, Barry? I know what you're doing. I know what you're doing, and you're being weird, and you need to stop it. So, all right, guys. Real quick, if you need to sell your home and you need to do so fast, then you need to call my guys over at Gulf State Home Buyers because they're going to buy it from you. They're going to make you a cash offer, and they're going to help you through the entire process. Let's say you're trying to get out from under the house. You need to do it fast, but you can't because you're held up by back taxes or delinquent HOA dues or divorce, bankruptcy, foreclosure. Maybe you're going through unemployment right now. Gulf State Home Buyers will help you out. Give them a call, 281-717-6100, and let them help you. They'll make you a cash offer. They handle all the paperwork from the beginning of the process all the way through closing. So call them and sit back and relax and let them handle it. They have attorneys, title companies, an entire in-house staff that helps you through the process. But they can't help you if you don't call them. 281-717-6100. From title issues to quick closings, they're the guys that are going to help you out. Give them a call. Gulf State Home Buyers, 281-717-6100, or hit them up on the web, gulfstatehomebuyers.com.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Nick, Barry, Joel, till 4, The Usual Suspects, as we usually do, Monday through Friday, 1 to 4 p.m., we don't have a lot. I don't know about pepper, but we sure do have a lot of salt in this relationship. We are salt. There's a lot of saltiness.
What do you mean?
There's just, you know, you're 80% salty.
I'm not that salty.
Okay, Nick.
I know. Slight exaggeration.
I know you 70%. Guys. I know you guys like to think that.
We witness it.
Sometimes, though, the truth you guys perceive as saltiness. I'm just telling you the truth. It doesn't mean I'm angry or upset about it. I'm just giving you an observation that happens to be factual. That's all.
Nick?
I disagree. I think he's salty at least 70% of the time.
Look, and then you get guys like Dre on 290 who are like, you're the saltiest person on radio, but yet I've got 1,000 people that are agreeing with me. And then he follows up with people that chew ice. They might as well be Dre. What do you – you can't agree – call me salty and then agree with me, Dre?
I think he just did.
Yeah, well –
I think Dre just likes using the word salty when
he does. That's the thing now. You guys have made this a thing where everyone calls me salty for no reason.
Why is it us?
Why is it us? And where am I getting roped into this too?
No.
Brought this to life.
You guys know what you've done.
No.
You guys know what you've done.
No, not even close.
You have created a monster out there.
I did think you were going to retaliate right away with him today and go, look, puss.
That's what I thought.
I thought it was coming.
I was worried.
The start
for
of this segment, I thought it was coming.
I was
coming.
Like mentally prepared to be called that today.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, just because you called it. You called me that like the entire show yesterday.
No.
For like 3 hours.
No.
By the
for
way,
like 12 seconds.
Philpott was.
Yeah, I was going to say 3 hours. Was
Philpott
like,
was sending me messages. I love Nick, but keep going at him.
Philpott?
Yeah, that was great.
That's awesome.
Hey, so you guys see this? We can get to the game 7. We can get to a lot of the other things. But the story that has resurfaced about this whole Moses Malone Jr., James Harden thing.
Yeah, what is that about?
Keeps
tell
coming
me.
Back.
So
it's got to be
back,
semi-serious, right?
Yeah, the club is now closed. It was a strip club on Richmond. Was called like V.
For Virginia?
I don't know.
Okay.
All right. V Live, Houston, right? So story goes that Moses Malone Jr. went to Twitter and called out Harden and basically used Donald Driver, the ex-Green Bay Packer, who's from the area, and said, hey, James Harden, are you really looking out for the inner city kids? And I'm paraphrasing, but are you really looking out for the inner city kids of Houston when you're charging them $150 or more to go to your camp? Donald Driver, who doesn't have nearly the money you have, is not charging inner city kids or doing something to that degree, and points that all out. So as the story goes, they're all congregated and they all end up at the same place at the same time at V Live. It's all of James Harden's quote unquote boys and Moses Jr. And supposedly they take him out back. They rough him up. They take his earrings, his chains, his jewelry. And now, after he filed an initial civil lawsuit against the four guys not named James Harden, but are all acquaintances of James Harden, he filed an amendment in civil court yesterday seeking damages from James Harden for allegedly orchestrating the entire beating.
Ooh. The plot thickens.
Yeah, and supposedly he was going to be forced to testify in December, I believe it was. And I don't know whatever happened to that as part of the initial case. But now the case is front and center, and Harden is at the center of it because of the fact that he's saying they have text messages and a trail of evidence that leads to James Harden's involvement in the proceedings.
So there's evidence now.
Yes.
Dun, dun, dun.
So evidently Harden charged $249 for his basketball camp, which Malone said shut out inner city kids, and then referenced Driver in his camps in which he doesn't charge inner city kids. Now the good news for James Harden is he's got Rusty Harden spelled differently with an I. Rusty Harden representing him. And boy, if there's an athlete in trouble in Houston, Rusty Harden's going to be right there.
Yeah, for sure.
And he has gotten people out of a lot of stuff. Now, I also know that there is a senior executive over there at the Big Sequoia that likes to make phone calls during commercial breaks to tell people this isn't news and no one should talk about it. It's news. It was news then. It's news now. And guess what? It's not new news that James was being accused of being involved in it. So you take care of the Sequoia, and we'll take care of what we do.
At some point, they're going to settle out of court, though, right? I mean, that's what's going to happen.
Yeah, probably. That's what I'm guessing, too. I don't think this is going to get – I mean, it may – unless there's some serious evidence against Harden that we all don't know about that's yet to be revealed.
The text messages are enough if they can get it. And supposedly, again, James wasn't – he was reluctant to give up, obviously, the text messages. You can go back and get those records. But Malone's lawyer is the one that's saying there were text messages between Moses and some of James Harden's friends. We have a good trail of evidence that leads to James Harden's involvement to this.
Wow. So when do we get to see the next episode of this drama?
June 24th.
All right.
No, wait. No, that's when that post
Nick,
was
we should
published.
Send you down to the courthouse and cover it.
What you doing at the court? No, I mean, I would go.
Why you still?
Wait, how'd that go?
I don't know.
Why you?
I'm jacking. Yeah. What's her name? Sarah Pepper.
Yeah,
that's her deal.
Nice lady, by the way.
Yeah, she's really nice.
I met her when I did the MS 150 thing.
She's really super nice. Yeah. It doesn't say when
you're not going to go.
I'll go if you really want me to. I don't care.
We should go and get audio and get interviews afterwards.
With Harden, because Harden will be so willing at that point.
You should go and
about as willing as he is to do any interviews around Rockets game.
But he'll do it at the courthouse. Well, you know, I mean,
I was gonna say you should just go and play that. Is it Baby? That song. What happened to that boy?
Baby does sing that song.
He was talking. We put a clap to that boy. Exactly. That's what you should do, and then just see how he reacts. By the way, you have to save that where you just did that.
I'm not going to save any.
Oh, of course.
I can save y'all's, but that's the advantage of being on this side of the glass.
Okay. He does have a point there.
Okay. That's fine.
I can't find when
I was just getting off the podcast and do it myself on my phone.
I can't find a court date in all this.
I imagine it'll be what? Taken care of before he even gets to training camp after the offseason?
Well, yeah, I mean, for sure.
You would hope so.
Because you said June 24th. The training camp is not until
June of last year.
How much money does...
No, I thought you... The court
the
date.
Incident, but yeah, that's what I'm saying. I can't find the actual... Okay.
Look, we know Harden can drag this out for many, many years in court and not even worry about the cost. Can Moses Malone Jr. afford to see this dragged out for many years financially?
Don't get me into stories with him.
So that's my point. At some point, this is going to settle. And it's not going to be James Harden rushing to settle. It'll probably be Moses Malone Jr. who's like, all right, I'm almost out of money. Let's
Malone
wrap this
Jr.
up.
Malone Jr. was beaten and robbed out of... between $15,000 and $50,000 in jewelry.
He shouldn't be walking around with that much jewelry.
Yeah,
anyway.
Who's carrying that much jewelry?
Moses Malone never saw a big contract.
The initial, are you kidding me?
That big?
No, he played at U of H. Then he went to Texas Tech. Then he bounced around like everywhere but the NBA,
yeah.
Overseas and stuff like. No, but I had always heard it was about $15,000 in jewelry. Now suddenly it's $15,000 to $50,000.
Damn.
So it might be a little bit of an exaggeration.
Yes, is what I'm saying.
Yeah. It's a pretty big gap. I guess it just depends where you get it appraised. I don't know how that works.
Well, at the I'm trying to get as much money as possible lawsuit pawn shop, they can basically tell you that it was about 50.
Yeah.
I am surprised that Harden would try. Like, I don't expect them to do everything for free, but maybe one or two of these camps to be for free, because there were a lot of other players that did basketball camps for free. And that $250. That's
he was
a
charging,
lot.
I thought he was 150.
Or is it 150?
150.
No, okay. 249.
Oh, he
wait,
said.
Let me see. Wait, he said did I, 150. What did I say?
You said 150.
Do okay. I heard 249.
Easy. Let me check. Jeez, people.
Dang it, Joel. Get the number right.
Relax. But
we got while you're looking that up, we got a text. Somebody said, "Damn, Beard, straight gangster, ordering beatdowns and throwing games." He didn't throw the game.
249.
Oh, was it?
That's well, a lot of money for one person.
Yeah, where'd the 150 come from?
I don't know.
That was earlier in the story when you were mentioning Donald Driver. Whatever.
I don't know, but it
that is a lot of money for a camp, and you're probably all you're going to learn how to do is turn the ball over and play bad defense. Now, look, what you want to do is like a
Euro step. You can learn how to Euro step.
When they charge at you, you want to get out of the way, all right? And then he probably shows them, like, now look, when you go for the layup, if you don't get the foul, you need to turn around, throw your arms in the air, and pout.
That's what I was
going to
say. This is how you draw the foul behind the 3-point line.
They're just doing drills where they're doing like pouting drills. And then they're doing like, okay, now everyone run down the court. No, not you. You got fouled. You stand there. God, what are you doing? That would be so great. That would be the best kind of drills. Just like, all right, this is called the my bad drill. Now what you're gonna do is you're gonna throw a bad pass into the fourth row. And then you yell out my bad, and then you go yell at the guy that you passed it to for making the mistake.
Don't forget the hand down, man down. When the hand is down and you learn how to go run right into it to get fouled.
Fail is one. That'll be the t-shirt they give out. All right, guys. I'm going to tell you about Nexa Tire. They have the leading warranty in the tire industry, exclusive free roadside assistance. If you get a flat tire, Nexa will change your tire or they'll tow your vehicle for free. Nexa's the fastest growing tire brand trusted by automotive manufacturers. Check out Nexa Tire on their web to learn more. NexaTire.com.
ESPN 97.5.
I assume you knew.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Trailer Wheel and Frame on 45 and West Canino. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Live from office hall and studio, it's Barry, Nick, and Joel.
I specifically requested you not do that. I was like, don't do it. I know what you're going to do. Don't do
you
it.
You warned him?
Don't even acknowledge it. And he couldn't do it.
We're here at the studio today.
Yes, we are.
Having a good time. Hopefully you are, too. There's some good questions that are flying around there on Twitter. And you are catching... Is it a normal dose, a steady dose, or an above average dose?
It's escalated a little, which is to be expected.
Is Dre the driving force of this?
No. You're giving him way too much credit.
Am I?
way too much credit. I'm like, bro, at least you just need to win a battle of wits with Trey first before you really start bringing it to me. You know what I mean? Like, work your way up. Lamont had a question for you, for us, I guess. Pretty good question. He said, serious question, why is the media hell-bent on protecting the integrity of sports when it comes to throwing games? And I don't know that in my – I can't speak for, quote, the media, but I can speak for myself. And while I'm not blind to the fact that it may occur on occasion, I just think – I tend to believe that it doesn't happen for the most part because these guys, the loyalty that you'll see in a locker room and, you know, the teammates and the – I don't know that guys like James Harden, they're not out to throw games. Why does that benefit him in any way? It's not money. Well, he's got plenty of money.
But it does if he has people wagering on games, whether it's him, for him, or others that are trying to benefit from it.
If you're James Harden with a chance to win a world championship, why would you go out and blow a game because your buddy has $1,000 riding on it? I mean, or $10,000 or whatever. It doesn't make sense. He's worth hundreds of millions of dollars. He doesn't need that money.
Because they saw the Warriors and knew they couldn't beat him.
Well, now see, I mean, that's what I'm saying. There's really no legitimate
okay, so
reason.
Seriously, here's my
response.
If
you're in trouble with the mob, okay. I get it. Call the authorities.
It's, you know what? Here's the bad thing. First and foremost, it's not like it hasn't happened in the past, i.e. Pete Rose and others. And I'll say this. My response to Lamont right off the top
was... you're saying Pete Rose blew games, that's not necessarily true.
He bet on games.
He bet on them, but he didn't throw them.
But they started... I believe they had proof that he bet on the Reds. I don't know that he always bet on the Reds to win when he was managing. See what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's a slippery slope. Now, I mean, unless you can show me where that is, I'm not. I mean,
I know that was part of the detail because people were saying as long as he was betting on the Reds to win, mm-hmm. then what did he do wrong? Because he's managing the team to win.
So
I don't know, and I can't. I'd have to bring that. I thought that was part of the case that MLB brought against him and or the commissioner for not getting into the Hall of Fame because he not only bet on baseball but. It was, betting against.
I mean, I know that, but I'm just saying I don't think he ever bet for the Reds to lose and then went out and threw a game or anything like that.
I'm not saying he threw it, but I'm saying that's, if you bet on your team to not win, that's, and you control one of the two teams involved, you can contribute to it.
Yeah, I mean, you can.
But anyway, the question was, why is the media hell-bent on it?
So here's the thing, because the first thing I said to Lamont was, are they protecting or is the league involved and the fans leading the charge? Because the league worries that it'll do serious damage to the reputation and integrity of the brand. See NBA/Tim Donaghy, okay? Because when they were hell-bent on trying to keep that from being in the public, and when it came out, it trashed the credibility of the NBA. And every official's call from that point forward was going to be questioned with a thought in the back of everyone's head, were they involved too? Were they gambling? Are they a gambler? Are they throwing games? So I've said this before on this station, on this program, but I know ex-players in the NFL that can prove to you, and we'll just say, quote-unquote, teams cheated. I think you all are smart enough to figure out a lot of this. But the reason why, when I went from fly on the wall to being inquiring mind and said, why won't you turn them in? Why won't you bring that to the forefront? They said, are you kidding me, man? And they went into their wallet and they pulled out their business card where they're now a representative of the league. They said, you see that shield? If we go in NARC and it becomes a big story, now the credibility and the integrity of that shield and the league and everything that it has to do with it is going to be in question, which means it's taking money out of my pocket, so I won't do it. And I thought, wow. And these were pretty prestigious players. And I went, wow, because as a fan, you never want to think that it's anything but just 100% competition,
yeah,
right?
And maybe it's maybe I'm being naive, but I just don't feel like. I mean, in the case of Harden, he sucked, he choked. I don't think he threw the game. And Lamont followed up by saying, "Man, I'm talking a simple local level that the media will damn near take a bullet to prevent fans from ever mentioning throwing a game." That's not true. You can say whatever you want. I'm just saying it's ridiculous to think that James Harden would throw game 6 at home against the Spurs with a chance to move on to the Western Conference Finals. Why wouldn't he? I could see if Dwight was here, and he hates Dwight so bad that he doesn't want Dwight to get a ring, so he throws the game. But I mean, what's the motivation?
What I
want to prevent and what I don't want to see is people just throwing out wild accusations just because someone else said it on Twitter. You get this wolf pack mentality. It's just like in the media. The media has a wolf pack. Any hot take, everyone latches onto it and takes the same take.
Well, but here's what
and
I'm
saying. It's the same thing with fans.
I would disagree
throwing
with that.
The game. What, that the media latches onto a hot take?
Here in Houston.
Bro, it's terrible.
I'm saying from the standpoint of there are media members in this market that can be bribed off of stories. So that's why I don't think the Wolfpack mentality is totally true, because a lot of people who do lazy journalism and they just want to jump and piggyback, it happens all the time, I agree with you. But then there's also a few that say, hey, I won't report this. Or there's a few from the other side of the coin that come to them and say, hey, don't report this. And in exchange for you not reporting it, we'll give you some form of.
But that's different.
Cookie.
That's not. I'm not. I'm talking about just people that latch onto a hot take and everyone runs with
it.
Whether
I get
it be TV, radio, or whatever. That's the same thing with this James Harden throwing a game thing. I think people just latched onto it because it was funny or easy or whatever, and so everyone just wants to throw that out there. And I think it does a disservice to a certain degree to James Harden by saying that. If you have, if that's not founded on anything, if you have smoke, if you think, well, James Harden met with a casino. Okay, well, then let's investigate that, and then maybe we can look at the allegation. But if you're just throwing out there because you're an a-hole or you just want to be a dick, I think that's reckless. And that's why maybe people don't want to hear that or entertain.
And I'm not personalizing this to James Harden in Game 6.
Yeah, like who said that? Did people say?
Oh, bro, it was on Twitter everywhere.
When?
People all over, just that night.
Okay. Well, I mean, you look at the game. When we talked about the difference between quit, did he quit or did he choke? Because there's a huge difference in the fact that if you quit, that means that for whatever your motivation, you just intentionally didn't try.
I mean, you guys, I both agreed that he choked. I always thought he quit because when I felt like the game slipped away, I didn't feel like he put any more effort.
So I was responding to Lamont's question, by the way, in general terms. I wasn't putting this on Harden. But I think in general terms, to ask why the media does what they do, a lot of times, too, and I'm just taking a stab in the dark here, but because the media is so focused on making sure that they have the story to cover, they have the team to cover, they have all of this that's, you know, going to be part of their vernacular every night during the season, and all of a sudden, if all of this stuff comes to be true, does that screw up a big part of their broadcasts every night and take away? I don't know. But we also know that, look, these guys, they're so close to these teams these days, and Nick, you can attest to it. The way they are in the locker room every day, and they're trying to always be real close to the players, sometimes that can sway their judgment when they're on the air as well.
Yeah, it's kind of the direction I was going to go in. I don't think that, I mean, if there's a situation where people are really believing that Harden is throwing games, I think that's completely just off.
I'm telling you right now.
I think the reason why Lamont is asking that question, or to answer his question, why is media so hell bent on breaking that story? It's because it's a story to break, and it's a very difficult one.
No, that's not what you're saying. Why? He was asking. No. He was like, what I'm saying is, on the local level, media will damn near take a bullet to prevent fans from even mentioning throwing a game. Like, when I said, because somebody said, oh, well, Harden threw the game, and I was like, that's ridiculous. No, you know, that doesn't happen. He was saying, why would you jump to the defense of that and think that it's not something that would happen? And my point is, you can't just go around accusing somebody of something that serious in sports. If you have something, if it's a Pete Rose situation and you want to argue with me that Pete Rose threw games, that's totally different because there's stuff out there. But if it's just a Wolfpack mentality on Twitter that gets picked up by the media and starts this firestorm that's baseless, I won't be a part of that. And that's why when it comes up, I'm quick to say, nah. If you have nothing, then we're not discussing.
I'm with you on that 100%. I don't know if it's necessary. If the media is trying to prevent the fans doing that, I think that's dumb. But I think the reason why, it's also because it's a lot less likely. You don't see the NBA contracts being thrown around. You didn't see that being thrown around back then. So maybe there was more of an incentive for someone to throw a game back then than there is now. But you're right. Someone like James Harden, I don't see why he would do that at all.
Nope.
At all.
Yeah, and that's why I refuse to even put this to the specifics of James Harden. Because I just think it's that's really far fetched to say that he did that.
I mean, the guy that tweeted it, his name is on Twitter is Booty Hole Tickler.
Jeez. Oh, boy.
That's the guy who sparked this conversation?
Yeah. But he's not the only one. I've literally seen tweets that night and since then, and that, I mean, probably 10 to 12 different tweets about Harden throwing a game. Some of them maybe were tongue in cheek or just. But some of them, there was this feel of legitimacy to what they thought.
Well, there's conspiracy theorists all over right now.
Of course.
Some of them are saying he had a concussion. Well, when you ask the player point blank in the post-game press conference, the first thing they're going to do, because they don't want to take the heat that they have to take for being as bad as they were, is they can make some kind of reference to the fact that they weren't right in some way, shape, or form. That hasn't happened. When you ask the player point blank and he says, I'm good, I was fine. And then Daryl Morey and Mike D'Antoni said he was sick. Well, again, you're healthy enough to be out there and play a lot of minutes. Don't give me this sick mentality. We saw what Jordan did in Utah in a deciding game when he was quote-unquote sick. So, I mean, and again, after the game, if you're called out and said, why did you play so bad? And if this is on your shoulders, as you say, why? And that and he doesn't say, I was sick. Then it's not an excuse. It's not valid to me.
Yeah.
But I definitely don't think he threw the game. All right. So right now I want to tell you guys about Window World. It is a great company here in Houston, Texas. And if you're looking to lower your energy bills and improve the overall quality of energy consumption in your house, you might want to look at your windows. Because if you have old windows and they're leaking in air and letting out either air-conditioned cool air or in the wintertime, leaking out any kind of heating, it's costing you money in your energy bills. Window World has a solution. At no charge to you and with no any hassle or pressure, you can get a free written estimate from Window World. They'll come to your house. They'll check out your windows. They'll tell you how they could possibly lower your energy bills and improve your overall window quality. And then it's up to you. If you choose to go with them, you just call 713-439-1172 or you log on to windowworldhouston.com and you get back with them and you say, hey, I want to do this. And if you don't, then hey, they go away and there's no hassle, no high pressure. They're not going to sit there and nag you and continue to come at you. It's your choice. Right now, windows start at $189 per plus $45 for solar zone low E to meet Texas energy regulations. And they can continue to show you ways that they can improve your windows and lower your energy bills. It's a great deal. And again, there's no pressure on you. Just call Window World, 713-439-1172, or log on to windowworldhouston.com and give them a shot. They'll come out. They'll do the estimate. You decide if you wanted the work to be done. Window World, simply the best for less.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Nick, Barry, Joel, till 4. Continue to roll on with The Usual Suspects. Calls rolling in. Everybody wants to chime in now on this. One of numerous conspiracy theorists that want to talk about why James Harden sucked in Game 6 and at the end of Game 5. Let's go, Ben. Ben, you've been waiting a long time. You want to get in here. What's up?
Good afternoon, fellas. I only discovered y'all probably in the last 6 months, but y'all become a daily routine for me. I really enjoy the show.
Love it, Ben. Thanks for listening, man. Thank you.
Barry, I'm not going to go salty on you. I might say... feline.
Okay. That works too. That works too. I'm acting like a Virginia. That's all right.
So nobody's talking about, is he suffering from quote flu-like symptoms from the night before? Cause we all know his, nightlife regimen. Do you think it's a possibility that could play into this? I'll hang up and listen.
Yeah. I mean, see, that's the thing. I would definitely listen or entertain something like that way more than I would listen to, well, he just threw the game. If you want to come at me and say he went out and got drunk that night or partied all night and was just, you know, lethargic and lackluster because of it, all right, let's talk about that because you kind of know the dude goes out. He went out after the loss, so.
I didn't bring it up until it was brought up, but if you're asking me, do I think it's a possibility? Absolutely.
Ooh, breaking news.
All right. I absolutely think it's a possibility. And I think that, as Barry said, the track record is already there. And it's not just what happened after Game 6. You know? And as we've said time and time again, where everyone in the world is a reporter now because they have a cell phone that can record video and take pictures, there has been numerous times when that kind of stuff has come out. And he's out a lot. He enjoys
and he has every
out.
Right to.
And he's a young guy. But, I mean, look, that's the other thing when people say, what about curfews? And the answer is always, well, these guys are grown men. Some are more mature than others. Some have a lot more growing up to do. So you would think and you would hope in a game as important as Game 6 that you would refrain the night before everyone's different. You just, you can't, unless you really want to do bed checks at home and curfew checks, which they're not going to do, you expect they're going to use their best judgment, and sometimes players still don't.
You ever shown up for this show hungover?
No.
I think you're lying.
That's absolutely...
I know, yeah. Nick has. We know for
Nick,
a fact.
You can pretty much back me that I haven't,
Nick is
right?
Always either hungover or high, about
not
three
true.
Days a week.
Not true.
You smoke a lot of pot. I think you need an intervention.
I don't need no intervention.
Puff, he's like, puff. Bro, I don't even smoke. No, you need an intervention. You know, it's a gateway drug. Before the end of the year, I fully expect Nick to be strung out on crack.
Nick, I'm not going to lie. At first, I shot that thing down. And then your behavior and your erratic behavior in the last 2 weeks has led me to believe he might be right.
Nicholas, we brought you
Couldn't
here.
Couldn't be more false.
Nicholas, we brought you here because we have something to tell you. We love you. But we want to see you get right.
And that's why those two large men are waiting for you outside of your door.
So gather your belongings. Actually, don't. You won't need them where you're going. No.
I have never, because I haven't had a last. I can't even tell you. I think the last time that I had an alcoholic beverage was well before we started the show.
Yeah, I don't drink a whole lot. I'm trying to think if I even shown up on Sunday hungover. There might have been once or twice in 4 years, but not
like
much.
I played college baseball.
But it happens.
I'll tell you this, and especially with baseball, and it's a little different than football or basketball. But with baseball, not only did I never drink the night before I was going to pitch, or when I knew I was definitely in the lineup, but it used to chap my ass when I'd walk down the hallway and all the guys would be in two different rooms playing cards. Which the cards is fine. But there's beer all over and alcohol over, and I started getting upset because I was like, I need these guys to be behind me tomorrow when I'm pitching. But then as long as they show up to play the next day and they make plays, then I got nothing to say. But it's when they start to not make plays that I would really have issue with it, and I would have to say something to a teammate.
Right.
So.
Well, I won't be like that with you guys. You guys want to drink and party, you go ahead.
Don't tell Nick that.
All right. Well, speaking of partying, I got good news, guys. Here's the cool thing going on with BBVA Compass that they're doing right now. They're giving out free lunch. Tomorrow, they're going to have food trucks at 6 of their locations serving free lunch. So plan on stopping by between noon and 1 for free food. All right, listen up. I'm going to give you the locations and the food truck. So you can figure out where you need to be tomorrow between noon and 1. The lunch bag is the food truck that will be at Atascocita Branch on 1960 in East Humble. What You Craving will be at Rose Hill and 290 on Cypress Rose Hill Road in Cypress. Los Tacos Hermanos will be at the Spring Creek BBVA location on Spring Cypress Road in Spring. Taco Me Crazy at Briar Forest on Eldridge Parkway. The Foreign Policy Food Truck at the Friendswood location on North Friendswood Drive, and the Hungry Lumberjack on Cochran's Crossing and on Research Forest Drive in the Woodlands. So get your free lunch tomorrow between noon and 1, courtesy of BBVA Compass. Follow ESPN 97.5 on Twitter for more information. Check them out, BBVA Compass.
ESPN 97.5. Please stand by.